Good morning. I am Dr. Christina Hines, and this is Down to Brass Tacks. Today is February the 2nd, 2021. We are in a new month, have been since yesterday. And this is the day before we go into a lockdown rebranded as a national pause. I hope that everyone is ready. I beg you not to overdo it today on the roads. I know people still have some business that they need to attend to today. I certainly do. But some things will also be opened as we go forward. So let's all try to be safe and careful as we go about our business today. This national pause, it begins from the time February 3rd begins. And it ends when February 17th ends. This is what the Attorney General has informed us of. So, in other words, this is up to and including February the 17th. We can still access supermarkets, bread shops, pharmacies, some shops, automatic teller machines or ABMs, as they're also called, banking machines. If you need cash, there are some bill payment facilities that are open, and from February 10th, I believe banks will reopen. So that's the position that we will be in going forward. I know some people may be a bit nervous about what this means, and people may be facing some kinds of anxieties and other challenges. I just wish everyone the best during this period. Now, as pertains to something that came out of this national pause, the announcement of the national pause, I was really glad to hear that there would be money provided to vendors, shop owners, and some small businesses that would be forced to close over this period, especially after we previously were told about travelers who faced interruptions to their trips being provided with tickets and perhaps some funding of their stays in the hotels in which they were isolating until, or quarantining probably is the correct word, until they received their test results. And this brought my mind to this idea and these experiments that have occurred around the world. And these started as early as the 1960s. These relate to universal basic income. And the idea here is that the government or other entities, sometimes there are other entities that will do this. There may be charities. And one of the common ways that we have seen around the world are, for instance, in places where there are significant oil revenues, a proportion of those profits would be distributed across the population. That happens today in Alaska. And it was also proposed as something that should occur in Guyana with these windfalls expected from oil revenues. But anyway, the idea here is that those who are unemployed or living below whatever the poverty line is, living in conditions that we might consider impoverished, would get a basic income from the government every month. And what this would allow is for a social safety net without administrative costs. And we see that right now, countries are actually returning to this idea as part of COVID relief to ensure that people don't necessarily fall through the cracks and we don't see increases in poverty. We don't see declines in some of the advances that we have experienced, advances in terms of living conditions that we have seen over the development of our countries. And certainly there are some drawbacks to this. It can be very expensive. Some people think that it will disincentivize people from searching for work. But what I find interesting is that the places where these experiments have been conducted in Finland from 2017 to 2018, this is before COVID, they did not find that people look for jobs less. They didn't really find a change in the amount that people look for jobs, but they did find changes in people's well-being, not feeling as anxious and stressed about where they're going to get their next meal, how are they going to live, if they're going to send their children to school, and some of the other things that go along with that. And several countries have experimented with these types of things. Right now, the current stimulus package that the U.S. government under Joe Biden, that he's trying to push in this COVID-19 period, does draw significantly on this idea of universal basic income. So does the one in the United Kingdom. And there are these programs all over the world that have been experimented with in Kenya, in parts of Brazil, in Iran, although people might not want to look at that as an example for whatever reason. The idea is that we have to find ways to help people through, just as we have provided some payments and financial incentives to businesses to ensure that, and not just now in the COVID period, but to ensure that they can do things such as generate jobs, taxation revenue. Sometimes they're provided with tax breaks, special concessions. This is the way of providing them with some funding, because they are viewed as critical to providing important things in the society. The benefits will trickle down. The idea with this universal basic income is the reverse, that we can have benefits flowing upward with a healthy population that's able to maintain itself and then can contribute to society. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I welcome your interventions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
The usual concern and worried.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you know, that I can play songs on brass tacks, because if you could get three brass tacks, buy songs that would play.
And which one ones?
Mark, all because of you. They just can't see. The country's sick.
The country sick.
Mm-hmm. I have always compared Bob Marley. But he may not be the best entertainer in Barbados, but he brings some very strong messages in his music. As far as the Bob Marley song is concerned, I mean, there are many he can play, but I said one of them play too. Natural Mystic. When you say many more will have to suffer, many more will have to die, and guiltiness pressed on their conscience. These are the big fish who eat up the small fish. You know, I have always said that man had a cheese so much to have died at the tender age of 36. But he was put here for a purpose. And I personally see he was a prophet. I personally see that. And I wish that people would pay attention. And they're not the only ones, there are others, but to me, Pastor Bag and Bob are the two most.
So what particular things do you want to draw from those songs right now at this period? The specific things that you want us to think about?
That if things would have been heated,
mm-hmm.
we would not have been in the state that we're in. I find
that. Isn't that often the case, though, in life, that we look back and say, if only I had done something, then something?
In
2020 vision, even in 2021? Go ahead.
I find that we just tend to listen and respect people who go to universities, no offense to you. So you seem to be very humble.
You find so? Because I really don't find so, you know, just by the way.
No.
They might listen to some.
No, I tell you, it's a fact.
I am telling you as a fact, I am one of those people, and I don't know that I get listened to too much. So maybe it is the ones that are providing the messages that fit with particular agendas. Anyway, go ahead, make your point.
They tend to look up the people who live in the Heights and the Terraces, who drive expensive SUVs, wear expensive clothing. People that wear jeans, nobody never respect them. But I heard this program, I heard the pleas and the craze of some of the Carters. But I'll tell you one who support party, because I can tell you this now. If the next government was in power, those who are prisoners will be criticizing and vice versa. And that is our problem.
So our adversarial politics is part of the problem that you just oppose when you're in opposition? Is that what you're saying?
It happens now, ladies and gentlemen. That's a known fact.
Right.
It comes from both sides. And that, I mean, I don't want to waste my time getting out there, right? Until such, that's why I keep, I hear people saying there's no need for North Park or Port in Barbados. There is a need. I look upon elections as not, I look upon you swapping places. Because, and the facts are there too. Things that mm-hmm. are criticized when one party is in opposition, then they get there, they sometimes do worse. I remember, I think I keep on talking about this.
Okay.
The 17 ministers that Flanders Straw had, they were criticized. And I agree with the criticisms here, Nina, 17 ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the numbers were criticized. But now, lo and behold, we got 26 ministers from those people who are criticizing the 17. We have enough consultants.
But at this point, let me ask you a question. Let me interject here. So are you asserting that despite having this number, it is not making a significant difference? How are you connecting this to this current period that we are in? When we are going into lockdown, we have this spike in the number of COVID cases. Tell me your thoughts.
If you have 26 ministers,
mm-hmm.
I don't see where you should got all these consultants. You shouldn't want a consultant at all. What I am basically saying, politicians need to listen to people on the ground. If I was a farmer, if I owned a farm, because I own a farm, now not necessarily make me a farmer. I own a farm. I have a vacancy, one vacancy. I have to choose between a university graduate with a degree and a man that when he went to school, he hardly took in anything, but everything he touched when it came to planting, it produced. I think for the man that producing, that growing the food, and not.
But in all instances when you're hiring, you should hire the best person for the job. So clearly that would be the best person for the job, right?
Yeah, but as I said, we tend to respect those who went to a university, who dress a certain way. When you don't put it wrong, you're on the body. You know, it's all right. Okay, I can do that suffering. You're sympathizing with me.
Yeah.
And even sometimes if you suffer, you may not suffer at the level at which I am suffering.
That's true.
But when you want to talk about people suffering, you know, Brad, from England, you're talking to people who suffering, who feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So a question I have to ask, are these gifts that are being given, where is the money coming from? I mean, you have less people working now, less revenue being generated. I want to know where these funds are coming from. And I am going to ask that question every day as long as there's life in my body, that I find an answer, that I get an answer.
So, but haven't we received a number of loans recently? We have. We've received a number of loans. So I would expect that this is where the money is coming from. I have listened to Dr. Kevin Greenidge speak times, and he has indicated that this money is coming from the loans. But you know the issue with loans, right, is that we have to repay it in the future.
I'm glad you mentioned that, right? And I refer to him as a classroom economist. You're a total. Hey, people saying, come on, you're an economist. Everybody is an economist. You got some good ones, you got some bad ones. But you know what the true economists of this country?
Tell me.
Those single mothers. I can talk about single mothers purposely who go in the supermarket with $50 and stress it and stress it and stress it beyond the $50. Those are the true economists. Again, people can listen to the people that can listen to them, you know. I have seen it in the market. And they say, it's wonderful that does it, but it does it. Those are the ones you should listen to. I know somebody calling, so well, they're not on the same scale. All that kind of nonsense they can hear. But
you know, I agree with you. And so, if I could interrupt you a little bit, I agree with you, you know, because we have different types of economics as well. I would also say, and I am not an economist. I do some work in political economy, but I am not an economist. But what I would say to you is that there are different branches of economics as well. We have welfare economics. And you know this term that we used to hear in school, home economics? That is also part of it. But when we're looking at public finances, there is a macro approach that is taken. And I believe that today, generally, the economics that is practiced at this macro level, is a neoclassical or neoliberal economic approach, which asks that people do certain things that we may not all agree with. This is the current tendency in economics, and this is not necessarily a criticism of my colleagues, my friends, and those learned economists out there, but I think sometimes this approach misses things. And I believe that in this current moment, we are seeing some movement to another type of economics that was more interventionist, that asked that the state intervene in economies and help people out, which is what I was kind of alluding to in my opening discussion, that perhaps some of public funds should actually be used to help people at the bottom and not in a way that they're going crawling on their hands and knees, begging for a voucher and having to tell all of the personal business to get access to a little end of money as a right and a necessity in the current moment. Okay, you go ahead.
There's a lot more I can say, but I don't want to hog the program, but I'm going to leave this to you, right?
All right, go ahead.
When you're speaking to me,
yes,
you
please.
You can talk about my words, then big words, and then not.
I use a big word?
You wait a minute. You use one or two.
Oh, sorry. That's my tendency, though.
I am not the one. I'm not the type who's going to come and give you an impression they understand that me, but they know I don't understand.
Well, you can feel free to ask me. You know, I don't want to obfuscate. I don't want to confuse people. I would like for people to understand what I'm saying. So if I am using too many of those words, just let me know.
Then you are talking to Mr. P. You're talking to Mr. P. in layman terms. I don't know about the rest of the world. Impress upon people. I don't know about that. An impression is just like an illusion.
I have to apologize, but that's really how we talk. That's my effort to be a lay person, but I will try a little harder.
And
I really appreciate this call, though. Go ahead, sir.
Stay safe. Never let down your guard. I have been wearing the disposable mask and the cloth mask.
Which one have you been wearing? The surgical one or the N95?
I don't know if it's the N95 or whatever, but I tell you this. I would expect if it's going on one layer of clothing, it might be calling if it's going on two. So why does it wear the disposable one, the one that comes in the blue, the pink, or whatever that's color?
Yes. Okay. Well, you be safe. I thank you for your call. And all the best to you. The numbers to call for those who want to call in, 434-1790. That's the number that you can telephone, call us. And 266-4862 is the number that you can send us WhatsApp messages on. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Doctor. Yeah, Doctor Haynes. A couple of things here. The first thing I just want to reply to your last caller, when you talk about the ministries, and what he needs to tell you that there are some ministries which overlap. And I draw one for example for you. There was absolutely no need for the Minister Cynthia Ford, because we already in Barbados had agencies dealing with welfare and problems associated with welfare. And then there's another one with the blue economy and the environment. That could have gone on to one ministry. So you have a situation where you have a lot of these ministries overlapping into one another. But what I got to call you about is last Saturday evening, while watching the press briefing or press conference, whatever you choose to call it, when they called on the journalists who represented the different newspapers and the CBC, I realized that the guy from the Nation, he seems to ask a lot of questions, which I do admire. And the young lady, hello?
Yes, go on.
Yeah, and the young lady is there. But I was taken back that here is a journalist from the CBC, sat down the whole evening and not one question that person tried to ask. Now, I would tell the person that who hosts that program, Elizabeth Thompson, she now have to look at how she structured that program. Because she has structured that program, or whoever structured it, in such a way is that the people that you invite, they take so much time that at the end of the day, when it comes to the journalist, I ask the question, the journalist says, oh, yeah, well, five more time, it saves so much. So and I would tell her to look again at how she's done conducting that program. The other thing, she should invite Dr. Adrian Lord. Now, this is in the hindsight. Adrian Lord would say since last year that we need to close our borders. And what is happening now, and again, he said it, and they listened to him, it's a bit too late now. So you, what you're going to see now in the future is an increase, and also an increase in deaths and increase in infections. Now, this gentleman, this girly doctor, with this is no eyesight. Since last year, Dr. Adrian Ford was telling the government about this, the need to close the borders.
Dr. So before, Lord?
Yeah, Adrian Lord.
Right.
Adrian Ford, sorry. Not Lord or Ford, why are you doing it?
Dr. Lord.
Right?
Lord. Dr. Yeah.
Adrian Lord, yeah. Mm-hmm. And here we found ourselves in the position now that we have to go on pause. No. After the end of this period and the situation doesn't slow down, what is going to happen? Are you going to take it to the end of February, which I thought would be the wise thing to do, shut it down for a month. But then the private people will come in today and say that they've got business to run, et cetera, et cetera. But even on the 17th, and you still see an increase in the numbers, what are you going to do? And those are the things that Elizabeth Thompson should let us know if at the end of this time the government will have to come back to the people about business and say they shut it back down again. So another thing with Dr. Jerome Walcott, and I hear him say that they're training 300 students, or 300 people, I know if all are students at UE or what. Some could be at UE and some could be at BBC or some could be all over the place. And they're going to come around to the house to do these surveillance. And they want the people to be honest and truthful as possible. But tell this. I'll draw a scenario to you. If there's a home that have several people, you think when those people come there, the head of the house is going to tell the people that several people live in there? Or if somebody is sick, that somebody is sick? Even at election time, you start people telling those people that come around election time lies. What do Dr. Jerome Walker take that? A lot of people about this is going to tell the truth?
Well, that's a very good question, because even in more benign types of research, so as social scientists, when we conduct surveys, we do know that people will not always be forthcoming with information.
Uh-huh.
So this is a general problem when you seek to get information from people. So for me, for instance, suppose I wanted to do something to find out how people plan to vote. People can tell you they don't plan to vote, they plan to vote for whoever, because they may not want to be very forthcoming with certain types of information. I think that may even be more prevalent in a small society like ours.
That's
where
right.
It would be difficult to guarantee confidentiality. So I know that we have been told that this information will be treated in strictest confidentiality, but this is a very small place.
That's
and
right.
Like you, I have some concerns, you know, because this is something that was announced, what, a week ago?
So that's
how
right.
long have these people who will be interviewing in the field been trained? Have they been trained for 1 week?
Right.
Is 1 week adequate training to ensure that people know how to appropriately handle people's personal information? And I also have a concern about the security of this information.
That's right.
I know we are being told it's going into UWI's cloud, which I hope that my colleagues at UE have all of the necessary cybersecurity and so on. But right now, I just don't know, because we have not been provided that information about how our data will be used. And I even have questions about whether our personal information should be going to a university and not directly to the Ministry of Health.
That's
there are some questions that I think we can ask.
You know, struck the nail on the head there. Why will you take this to UWE for? Mm-hmm. Why not the Ministry of Health? I was pondering up on those days. And there's something else, too, that
it's probably a capacity issue, but still, questions need to be raised and answered as well, so that people feel reassured if they are going to provide their information, that it is going to be handled well.
Another thing Dr. Jerome Walker said, which I find very interesting, he said that if the people come there and there's any reason to believe that you are asymptomatic, then the head of the health will come there and take you to have a test. Now, I may have a cold, but I'm not asymptomatic. This is where it's going to get a bit tricky, and I will warn Dr. Walker that there are certain people they are not going to do that with, because those people have the access to resources, and when you have the access to resources, you have to assess the kind of best QCs that we have in the island. And I'm telling Dr. Jerome Walker to be very careful and to put these students on the right path. Otherwise, yeah, I could see some lawsuits coming against both the Ministry of Health and the Attorney General's Office, because I already made it clear I am going to be courteous to these students, but I will not be accommodating them for my own personal reasons. Okay?
Thank you for your call. That's a decision we all have to make. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines. Please give us a call at 434-1790. Leading me today as my producer is Mr. John Stout. Thank you so much for your assistance so far this morning, because I have had a couple of difficulties. Welcome, callers. So far, we've had some discussion about what is going to happen with this national, I believe it is a national census that will be going on during the period of national pause. I wonder if this also is of concern or worthy of comment for the rest of the callers and listeners.